I am Bill Courtwright with Living Right with Bill Courtwright, and this is the Stress Mastery Podcast, where we take you from the science to the spirituality of stress mastery.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Stress Mastery Podcast. I am your host, Bill Courtwright, and I'm here with the super millennial, David Barreto, giving us the millennial perspective. How you doing, Big Dave?
I'm doing good.
So this week, our topic has been mastering fear. In today's Meeting of the Minds, let's have a discussion on the transition to transformation and the comfort zone. So I'm kind of tying in the three episodes that I do this week. And tomorrow I'll be talking on mastering fear, but for you to master anything, you kind of have to understand what is driving your behavior, because mastery is the ability to perform a skill, a behavior without conscious thought. It's mastery. You understand that?
Yeah.
So as we are set to close another year and begin a new year, many people will look at this time as a time of hope. A time where they can start over, a time where they can move toward a new life, a life of happiness and peace. And every new year opens the door for us to better ourselves and to begin the process of a new process of living. You agree, right?
Yeah.
I love this time of year.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
Love it, you know? So here's my prayers for each of you listening, is that you truly embrace this new year, that each of you listening achieves what they want, and each of you builds the career that is connected to your purpose and heart, that you love the work, that each of you builds that wealth and prosperity where there's no longer a need to worry about money. And that each of you takes control of their body and their health and has that energy that will drive you forward. And each of you develops and nurtures loving and higher relationships. And I pray that each of you reaches your God potential and you grow so you can bring your unique gifts and talents into the world. So that's my prayer for people going into the new year. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's good. I think piggyback on what we talked about yesterday, this time of year for me, seeing everybody kind of, you know, kickstart and knowing that, you know, select few are going to take this and this is going to be the turning point for their life is motivating to me, seeing those people and then seeing them in a few months and then seeing them the next year still doing it. I look for those people. I watch for those people because that is, to me, is motivating, knowing that somebody is going to literally change their life this time of year, for real this time.
It's amazing to watch. You know, we see Sandra in the community. We knew Sandra in the first community that we built. And this is a person that lives in the outskirts in the UK. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't have all the benefits that we have here. She doesn't have all the benefits of even the grocery shopping and things like that. And she has absolutely transformed her life. And I love watching that because I know that each person listening to this podcast right now, that each person working towards stress mastery can, and if diligent, will achieve whatever their heart's desires may be. I know this is a truth because I have done it. To live a life that you truly love, that's the goal. Not just parts of your life, but all of it is something you can do. In fact, it is your birthright. You were not born to live in a life of struggle. You were not born to live a life of suffering. You were not born to live your days in conflict, being stressed out. You were born to live out the potential that God gave you. Now, I would like to dedicate this particular episode to one of my higher end clients because he gave me such a wonderful gift. I was coaching this high level client, and he is working on instilling the steps of stress mastery within the being of his children, right? Within that programming of his children. And he was talking to his brother about giving his son support on these teachings. Now, immediately his brother was resistant, stating that my client was a little obsessive about diet and performance. And understand, my client's son is a very high performing athlete. And both my client and his brother were also very good athletes that took them into their college years. So my client's brother is very, very close to his son and has a great influence over him. So my client was just asking him to support him in how he was raising and working with his son. So when my client's brother pushed back on this request, my client, who has for years practiced stress mastery, was activated. There was a conflict. Now, his brother stating that my client and his wife are not normal and a little too much at times activated my client, who happens to be a freedom purpose. And when freedom purposes get activated, they jump into control, and immediately he wanted to defend his position. But he has the skill of stress mastery, and he automatically slowed down. He allowed that fear activation, the two-minute pendulum we talked about yesterday, that fear-courage pendulum, to swing from fear to courage. He saw his ego wanting to defend an attack, but instead, he responded. His brother's argument was, look at us. We didn't do all that extra mind stuff. We didn't eat special diets, and we were really good athletes. My client's response, coming from event awareness response from his heart, he said, brother, let me ask you this. Do you believe you reached the potential that God gave you? Now, this question shocked his brother. And when this happened, his brother let down his guard and he moved out of deaf effect, which means he could hear his brother now. And he released the perception, which was the story of how his brother was in defend and attack, and he paused. And when this happened, this opened his heart. And he simply responded to the question, do you believe, brother, you reached your God potential? And it was a simple no. And there was stillness. And my client responded quietly from love, exactly. So this is a defining moment for both my client, his brother, and his son. And the reason it's a defining moment is my client understands how powerful tribe support can be. And in tomorrow's Connection Thursday, I'll get deeper into God potential. But today, what I would like to focus on is share with you the process that each of you will go through as you set your New Year's resolutions, as you set your goals, as you begin working on your new life. Each of you will go through the process of transition to transformation. And that's what I would like to discuss today. But I thought that was I shared that with you right after I heard it. It's a very powerful interaction that I think is going to change everything for them. What are your thoughts on that?
I think if you were to teach what a perfect interaction looks like, that's it. You start with that reaction and judging, and then you go into that response, and then you just open up. And I think that's the cool part, because now I think that'll be a small turning point for both of them.
I agree.
Not for both of them, but for the son.
Yes.
And I think that's the big part to get out of it, because they could easily went ego to ego. And these are both people that, you know, could have strong egos.
They're very strong. Win,
you know,
nobody would win, right? And the loser would be the son.
Yeah, exactly. And one person gets screwed over out of this. And it's the and son.
And that's the amazing part of it. You know, and as I stated earlier, I know this process of going to transformation because I've lived and mastered the process. It's what I also know that this within my heart, I know that you listening can also create a life you love. I know for a fact you can because I've done it. So yeah. I was born as those listeners that maybe new to Stress Mastery, maybe have heard, I was born into an unfortunate situation. I was born into a situation that was physical and psychologically abusive. And this created deep seated trauma. And this trauma drove my perception. How does a trauma drive your perception? Because my self-esteem, my self-worth, and my self-image was set in trauma. So my self-esteem was that I was not good enough. Basically, I believed I was trash that could be easily discarded. My self-worth was set in unworthiness. I believe I was unworthy of being happy, of having the things I wanted. I was unworthy of love or even praise. I was even unworthy of God. And the trauma perception set my expectations of how I saw myself through my self-image. And this drove my behavior. It drove my behavior to quit. I lived in the apathy state. It drove my behavior to quit anything that would or make me happy. And this would play out through self-sabotage. It drove my behavior toward gluttony. I would overeat. I would overdrink. I would do drugs. I would overindulge in self-destructive behavior. This drove my behavior to create a story, which was a perception that I lived in, that I was a victim and that people should feel sorry for me, full out apathy state. And the victim's story is powerful because it's supported by every thought you have, 50,000 thoughts a day, people. It is supported by those who you spend most time with, because you're going to have like-minded apathy state people. And it's supported by the reality you have created. See, in this victim state, life seems to agree with your story as your reality is your proof. Do you understand that?
Yeah, for sure. David,
do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, I think the mirror that you show, you know, what you see in your past is kind of like what you're bringing to your future. And this, I think, is the best way that you can kind of explain it.
Yet, I will say this. The victim's story of resentment, regret, fear is nothing but a story. And it's about living your trauma. It's a story about living your past. It's a story of your failures. It's a story of your pain. It's a story of your fears. And over and over and over again. But in truth, this is all taking place in the matrix of your mind. The victim's story is held together through fear and the ego. Mm-hmm. That's it. But what happens, like what took place with my client and his brother, what happens when the story suddenly stops and you see truth? This is the beginning of the hero's journey. While the victim's story is all about being stuck in a state of restriction with that base energy of fear, the hero's journey is about momentum and movement outside this circle, this comfort zone of fear, into the state of courage. And this is courage, which happens to be the base energy of the state of expansion. And this is the starting point of the transition into transformation. Anything you want to add before I get into this?
Yeah, I think the part that out of all that is that when there's no story to it, you know, we talk about rewriting your story. There is no story to it.
Exactly.
It's the journey going through it, but not having that story, I think that's the turning point. Like for those two, during that, yes, you know, conversation, there was no story. It was just understanding one another. And that's so important to understand.
He asked such a profound question that opened up his brother's heart so deeply that it stopped. There was stillness. It stopped the story dead. The ego can't survive when the heart opens. you know? So all change, and we're talking about change as we go into our new year, all change must be done by moving out of the stories and the belief systems held in the subconscious mind of the cage mind. And this is done through moving through fear energy, which is what makes up your comfort zone. The transition begins with this move into fear, with behavior executed in courage. So let us slow down and take a closer look at this process. The 100 fear energies are the energies that make up the comfort zone. The ego uses these energies to create the fear program. This program the ego has created has the function to do one thing: prevent you from moving outside of the identity you hold within. This identity is built through the programs held in the cage mind. And the way it works is, if your behavior goes against this programming, the ego activates the comfort zone to stop you. This is the resistance we feel when we're presented with something new, or we try to do something outside of our regular behavior. This new behavior that does not match what is held in the belief systems of the mind will activate the comfort zone. Now, when the ego activates the comfort zone, this happens immediately as you begin to move out of the victim story and start the hero's journey. This is the transition period of your new life. Every one of you listening, if you set a goal, if you set a resolution, if you really want to change, you will have to begin the hero's journey and you will have to start this transition period. You understand that, David?
Yeah.
You're going to be uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think that's the behavior part of it. Realizing something that you're doing intentionally different that makes you uncomfortable is kind of a weird concept to do. You're doing something that is purposely making you uncomfortable for a good reason.
And we got to have that awareness, right? Because the fear energies, and this is going to be very important for everybody listening, the fear energies are the conflict activations. Yet, as I'm going to show you, it doesn't mean that a conflict activated is bad. A conflict activated is something that's going against your belief systems and the programs you hold in mind. So if you have a habit, a bad habit held in mind, and you start to create a good habit, when you go through the transition, you're going to activate a conflict within. So we hear that conflict resolution, we think conflict's bad. No, it means it's going against what you have programmed. So let's do a scenario, Dave. If you habitually eat fast food for lunch, you always have your burger, fries, and shake at lunch, and then you begin to eat a salad, you rationally have knowledge and know this is better for you than the burger, fries, and shake. Yet, this change will create a conflict activated within. This conflict is your behavior is not matching your inner programming that you love your burger, fries, shake at lunch. The activated fear energies are what's going to work for the ego to stop you. The activated fear energies have degrees of intensities. The ego may use the comfort zone to cause you to doubt. Doubt is a fear energy. I'm not sure I could keep up this healthy lunch. And this may activate worry, fear energy. What if I fail? Everyone knows I'm on a diet. And this activates the embarrassed energy. Another fear energy. And you begin having thoughts, stories of how you falling off the diet plays out. This creates the anxiety energy. And you feel stressed out about your new lunch. It's like that chain, right? Now, this is the comfort zone. the fear energy and the ego pushing you, creating pressure within, creating resistance to snap back and push you back so you resume your programmed behavior at burger, fries, shake at lunch. The conflict activated must have a resolution, or what happens? It will build into a reaction. And if this happens, you will break the diet. Now, breaking the diet is also the ego using fear and the comfort zone to ramp up that snapback effect. This is when that tick, tick, tick of the fear courage pendulum is activated. The ego activates the conflict. It's lunchtime. You really want the burger, fries, and shake. You tell yourself, I'm sick of eating salad. Everyone else is enjoying their lunch. The ego is using trapped fear energy. And this creates a story within your mind. I'm not even sure if this diet is even working. This is the skeptical fear energy. And this starts to ramp up the victim story. I've been so good on this diet. One day of having a burger, fries, and shake can't hurt me. And I'll start back tomorrow. This is the hesitant. This is the fear energy of putting off tomorrow what you don't want to deal with today. This is procrastination. The ego moves its energy then because it's ramping up the victim story from fear, and it uses the comfort zone to increase the intensity of creating the snapback. The snapback is to get you to stop your diet. So 100 fear moves into 125 desire. I really want the burger, fries, and shake. And this moves you into frustration. I'm not losing weight anyway. And this is driving the behavior away from the salad toward the burger, fries, shake. Then you move into anger. F it. This is defiance, anger energy. And you get the burger, fries, shake, and the ego wins. Your state is an event, judgment, reaction. You're in the process of judging why you had the right to have this burger, fries, and shake. And you're judging yourself for eating this. You're giving yourself justification. Now, if this person self-corrects this behavior because there's no doubt they will fall into the ego's trap and drop them from this justification into the regret program where guilt will be activated. And they really pause and get back on track. And the next day, they move through the resistance of fear. They move through the fear energy in the comfort zone, and they continue to eat the salad, they will also continue the hero's journey. They did not fail, they fell. But one more day, a burger, fries, shake, it's game over for the diet, and it's game over for the transformation. David, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's that slight change in between things is crazy, because you never realize how much of a fallback that is. Because there's been many situations, I've explained this one time a long time ago on a podcast, where I got upset at home and I got in my car and I drove all the way to the gas station to buy a brownie. Like, that's not in my nature. That's not in my normal thing. But when I hit that kind of that upset, whatever it was, it caused me to fall back to whatever the comfortable behavior was. And I got it, I opened it, and I realized, what am I doing? And I threw it out, immediately just threw it out. And after I had that kind of realization, like, wow, like I really ran to food when I just had, it had nothing to do with food to begin with, but I got out, I went out my way, I did all this to go there. I realized that that behavior, when I realized it, was uncomfortable because I was creating this new one. And after I did that, I broke that loop of redoing that over and over and over.
It's awareness. We talked about it yesterday.
Yes. Was
people don't see. See, this transition period is a one-year period that must meet the challenges of the comfort zone and the ego head on. You cannot stop and will not stop the conflict activated. You can't. You're not going to stop it. And there are four distinct testing periods in this transition. Number one is the first 30 days. As you guys go in for your first 30 days, this is the strongest resistance you will feel. This is when you need accountability. You need help. You need to stay on track. If you shall fall, get back up that first 30 days. Because if you can't get through the first 30 days, you will not create transformation. Now, once you get through the first 30 days, the next testing period will be 12 weeks from when you started. And what's going to happen then? Well, to be on the hero's journey, to create transformation is to change behavior. And to change behavior, it takes consistency. What happens at the 12-week mark is you get bored. I'm bored of the salad at lunch. I'm bored of the Green Focus Power. I'm bored of this, bored of that. And what you do is you actually sabotage unconsciously, but you sabotage the consistency you had created. And you change the behavior. Instead of keeping the behavior consistent, you change it. So 12 weeks, a lot of people snap back. A lot of people. That's probably what I say. A lot of people can get through the first 30 days of the new year, but they never get through the 12 weeks.
Yeah.
Because I have to keep that consistent. Now, after the 12-week testing period, you get to the six-month testing period. 6 months is a scary testing period because you now have outwardly results, but you have not yet transformed the programming. So the ego uses this six-month period to snap you back by creating what's called imposter syndrome. So in stress mastery, the higher goal setting process of identity-based goals, this is why the lesson you guys just learned is essential. Don't skip it. Because the first lesson is about your wants and getting things out and getting clarity. The second lesson is really where you set the plan and the desire, but it's the third lesson where you set the identity of intention. If you don't set that, about 6 months, you will sabotage yourself. That's why don't skip on the lessons. These lessons that we created for goal setting works within the human being's operation and function, how we work as humans. You can't fail if you do it. But that six-month testing period must be passed. Now, after the six-month testing period, you're going to come to 1 year. And after 1 year of consistent behavior, you now have a new skill. What's a new skill? Habit. It doesn't matter who you are. You're a human being. Human being, 95% of your behavior comes from the subconscious mind. Your behavior, what dictates a difference between one person and the other, are the habits that you hold in your mind. Your behaviors are what dictate the difference because every human being functions and operates the same. After 1 year, you got this skill. That's a habit that you created that supports your expansion. And this is when you create transformation. Mm-hmm. So that's why this year is really kind of cool because I do everything a year. So when I was getting ready for the competition, I knew exactly my phases that I would go through. And my phases of the competition were kind of set up around the testing periods. I always start, when I start something, I start a streak. Day number one. Diet, day number two. But if I change something on that diet, I go back to day number one because I know I just changed my behavior and I'm going to be tested differently through my comfort zones. So it takes 1 year to go from transition to transformation. And tomorrow, I will dive deeper into moving out of the illusion of fear and mastering fear and answering your own question. Have I met the potential God has given me? But for today, you must understand this process that you have to go through. There isn't one person that has transformed their life that hasn't gone through this transition process. You have to go through it. And the biggest thing, and I'm going to turn it over to you, David, that I will say is you got to understand that conflict is normal. You're going to feel conflict. You're going to feel upset. You're going to feel like the victim story wants to take you over. And that's when you need to pause, slow down, use the techniques that we teach you in stress mastery. Get a coach, get someone that you can help keep you accountable so you can keep moving forward. The hero's journey is momentum and movement. The victim's story is stagnation and stuck. There are two different states of being, and they're the two different states of being for the human being. The human being is either in a restriction state, victim story, base energy fear, or they're an expansion state, base energy courage, the hero's journey. Mm-hmm. David, your thoughts?
Yeah, the testing period, understanding that has changed the game for me for every aspect, whether it's been Green Focus Power Hour, journaling, meditation, and even now, you know, changing like my diet and my exercise and kind of the consistency aspect of it. I just finished the 6-month testing period, and it was while we were actually traveling and during the bodybuilding competition. I enjoy working out. Working out for me is fun. For those kind of week and a half, I did not want to go. And I used every excuse in the world. We're traveling. Bill's competition's tomorrow. We got to be up. It's going to be a long day. And even when we went to South Carolina, I was using the same thing. It took me longer to get out of bed. We're tired. Dave, you could take a day off. You could do all these things. And I knew that that's not me, because training isn't the hard part. Going out to go work out is easy. And fighting with my ego, listening to all the things it was saying, I knew the snapback was happening. And I knew that was the moment, whether I stay in bed and sleep for another few hours and know that my training every day after that is going to kind of rebound to day one, or I get up and I go and I push through it. And sure enough, after every workout, I was like, this is fantastic. So glad I did it. So glad I did it. And I haven't had that feeling again since. And I log stuff like that because I understand when, like I said, training's fun for me. Why am I complaining about it? You know? And that's how I knew the ego was really trying to grab at anything possible, because now I'm at another snapback point. Now I know that I can run my course and get ready to get the year done. But unless you understand that, then you just start to listen. You know what? It has been a long time. We've been driving a long time. You're tired. Go to sleep. You got work to do. And it makes sense, but it was to derail me. And if I would have listened, it would have.
And I will give, and I will say this for David, because I was with him after the show. Even during the show, he went out in the night. We had finished the process of the first weigh-in and everything else. And I went to bed. He went out and worked out. And then when we were in South Carolina, I'm getting ready to transition into my workout routines different. And my body metrics said you can't work out. It didn't matter. David still went and worked out. He didn't need me to go with him. Mm-hmm. You know, in the past, he would not do that if I didn't go. If I went, he went. That was easy. But what happens when I don't go? He has the motivation to go do that. That's creating consistency of behavior. That's the hero's journey, because he doesn't feel like doing it. But that's also developing his programming that will drive his behavior in the future. So yeah. I will tell you. Yeah. I was there. I saw it.
Yeah. And in the past, like you said, if Bill's not going at 5 a.m, screw this. I'm not going at 5 a.m. then. And for me, right. I said it the night before. So I was going. There wasn't no questions. It was like 38 degrees and raining. It's every excuse in the book was there to not go. And I knew that's why I needed to go. It's because it all made sense to not do it. And that, to me, made me uncomfortable. And when I started to feel uncomfortable, I knew it was going against my new behavior, and it was trying to pull me back. And I said, screw it. It's cold. It's raining. Let's go work out. And I ended up having a fantastic workout every single time. And I feel great that I got through it. It was an experience that I got to enjoy.
And this is the power of journaling, people. When you journal every day and you can see your behaviors and you can log your behaviors and you really write it down like that, that's how you learn. Because this could have happened very fast unconsciously. You understand the ego works very quickly, very aggressively. That's why you feel overwhelmed. It's fast. When you write and you journal your days and you set your days and close your days, this is slowing down your life so you can see the story that's playing out. If you can't see the story, you're not changing the dialogue. It's that simple. Yeah, and sure. So because he journals so much, he could see it. Not only could he see it, he gets to learn from it. Now, what does he have? Knowing. We talked yesterday between people say, I know, you don't know. Well, now he knows. Why? Experience. Now that creates knowing. You know, just because you think you know because you have knowledge in your head is not knowing. Knowing is only brought into your life through experience. And that's what journaling does for you.
Yeah, agreed.
So that's it for today's show. Our mission here is to create a shift in the planet. You can join us on this mission by simply like, share, and subscribe. The links are right below the show. As always, until next time, stay inspired.